B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Being able to sage, just cleanse the energy, you know, make sure that we're all balanced. When we come into this job and we come to this place, it's not anything that I don't do at home that I did today. You know, I saged last game and I plan to sage almost every game if the opposing team would allow me to. But literally, it's just more or less for us to stay connected and for us to feel great about going to work and feeling safe and provided for from our ancestors. I'm not going to bring too much of the spirituality into basketball, but yeah, it's part of my native culture and where I'm from.
I could have sworn I heard Kyrie Irving say he wasn't going to talk to the press anymore. Right? Am I crazy, or did he put out this whole statement about how he doesn't talk to pawns and he doesn't do this and he doesn't do that? He's just going to write a statement. That's going to be his thing every day. Not going to talk anymore. Apparently, that didn't last very long.
Please, Kyrie, don't ever stop talking to the media. Oh, my gosh. That audio, I hadn't heard yet. And his explanation is I mean, that's just awesome, right? I mean, it's just awesome to hear his explanation for doing the sage. And he, you know, you kind of, I'm listening for hesitation. I'm listening for maybe he, you know, something in his voice that's isn't real confident. He's 100% believes everything he says. I think that's what makes me it's so shocking to me, is that he believes every word he says.
Yeah. And I was tired of hearing his voice. I was celebrating.
Oh,
when he put out that
enough
statement, I was doing backflip. Finally, I don't have to hear this guy's stupid voice anymore. But no, he was there. And I thought this was an all-time great troll move. And maybe it's because I've been working with Jones too long, Ted, yeah, that I start to appreciate this like trollishness stuff. But when he was walking around with the sage, yeah, I burst out laughing. I thought it was hilarious. And it's not because I don't want to make fun of anyone's culture or native rituals or anything like that. It has nothing to do with that. I think all that's fine. The reason why I was laughing is because he was one of the most toxic players in the history of the Celtics. He was the bad energy.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he didn't put the sage out and then disappear with all the rest of the bad vibes floating out onto Causeway Street. Like, that's why I thought it was funny. Not because I, you know, have anything against any rituals or anything like that. I think all that's great. Although the only time I ever seen anybody sage anything was my girlfriend at her old apartment when she moved in, because the last people who lived there got divorced or something.
Oh, yeah.
So she's
saging
all around, getting all that stuff
out of there. That makes sense. But you're an NBA player doing it in all arenas. And look, I'm not as angry with him now that he said that he does that at every NBA arena. I thought it was just kind of for the Celtics.
And I never see him do it.
So I wanted to, I thought it was a personal thing, and I was going to go after him for that. And that's something he does at all the NBA arenas if they'll let him, he said.
Right. Which I'm pretty sure after Red Auerbach died, no one's allowed to smoke in the Garden anymore.
Like,
I know maybe there's an old Garden thing, but I'm pretty sure you can't just smoke in TD Garden. I heard Jay Stu yelling and screaming about this yesterday. I sort of brought it up when we found out about it last Friday. That's when they played the game, I think.
Yeah, it was last Friday night.
And I was like, I'm pretty sure you can't smoke in there, but whatever. Again, I'm not here to narc or anything like that. I just thought that was interesting. At any rate, the more important thing about that is that the Brooklyn Nets put the Celtics over their knee and spanked them all up and down the court for a preseason game, admittedly. And I'm not one to read too much into preseason, Ted.
Well, there's only two preseason games.
That's the thing. There's only two of them. I mean, generally, I don't care about NFL preseason or spring training or summer league or any of that crap. But there's only two of them, and they were both games were a week before the season starts, which the season starts tomorrow. And then when that's the case, in these COVID times, you have to take it more seriously. You have to, because you don't have anything else to go off of. The season starts. The game counts tomorrow. That game against Giannis and the Bucks will count in the standings, and that matters. So you can't just tell me, oh, it's preseason, who cares? I usually don't, but this year I do, because this year the Celtics are getting thrown right back into the fire with what we found out today from Brad Stevens. No Kemba Walker for a while. He said he's a long way away from coming back. So I saw that. I saw Kyrie Irving doing whatever he wanted to out there, and Durant doing whatever he wanted to out there, and I saw all these bad vibes come flowing back into the Garden as I started to realize, oh my God, like, maybe the Celtics are way behind where they should be right now in terms of the season starting.
And I haven't heard, I apologize, I haven't heard your opinion on what you think the Celtics' chances are this year. I mean, what's your overall take on what you think where they can finish? Are they a better team this year than they were last year? And where do you think they end up finishing in the conference?
I don't think they're better this year than last year. I don't know how you can replace Gordon Hayward with Tristan Thompson and Jeff Teague. Mm-hmm. Thompson, who may not even be ready, and tell me that they're better. And I wasn't even a big Gordon Hayward fan, Ted. I mean, yeah. I thought that they should have traded him at the deadline last year. He was, I thought, redundant in that offense because there's already two good wings on the team. Instead, they move on from him. They could have traded and got a guy back who I really liked, a Miles Turner. They didn't. I thought that was a big whiff in this offseason for Danny Ainge. And now I just sort of feel like, yeah, there's a chance that they can come out and be better. And I think that chance all hinges on the idea that Jason Tatum becomes a night-in, night-out superstar. Not just the guy who has a great month, and he had a couple of great months last year, but he wasn't, you know, in the playoffs, certainly in that Miami series. Like, he was good, he wasn't great. He needs to be great. He needs to be Kawhi Leonard. He needs to be LeBron James. He needs to be, James Harden, who we'll talk about him in a second here. But that's really all what it all comes down to. And I don't know. I mean, in two preseason games, I didn't see a superstar in Jason Tatum. In fact, he kind of sucked in those two
games.
He
did. And I watched that game Friday night, and I want to say I was shocked, but I wasn't, in the sense that, you know, the thing that jumped out at me, there's a lot of things that jumped out at me in that preseason game. I want to talk about this game as if it was an important game, because I think it is, in the sense that they played against a team that's going to be, I think, one of the better teams in your conference. And it also kind of shows you, okay, where are they at ever since, you know, losing in the Eastern Conference Finals just, right, you know, not that long ago. And I'm, like, worried. I am worried about this team, because without Kemba Walker, without Gordon Hayward, you know what they look? They look young. They look so young and inexperienced. Well, hey, you know, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, they've been to, you know, conference finals, you know, multiple conference finals in their young career. Yeah, and they still looked young. And what scares the hell out of me without Kemba Walker is, where's this offense going to run through? If this thing runs through Marcus Smart, good God, it's going to be – it's going to be a long season, because Marcus Smart was just chucking up threes, baby. And you know what? And he's one of those guys, like, if I miss the first eight, I know the ninth one's going to go in, kind of guy. And you saw that in that preseason game, that mentality. And it was ugly. I thought they thoroughly got drilled. And I see a lot of the problems in that preseason game being problems to start this season. I really do. I just think the inexperience, the no scoring off the bench. You know, the length is going to be an issue. I mean, Brooklyn's just so much longer than them. And I think you see Jason Tatum doing too much, settling for jump shots, dribbling too much. Jaylen Brown disappears in the offense, I think, way too much. And you know what? It's a little bit scary. I could see this team, I was thinking maybe fourth. I could see them in anywhere in the sixth or seventh seed in the East, based on that one game. Maybe I'm overreacting.
Jace too said seven, and then yesterday he said that might be too high.
It might be, buddy.
Yeah.
I'm serious. It might be.
Here's the thing. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown had two bad games shooting in the preseason games, right? It's the preseason. I know. But what happens if they have a bad shooting game in the regular season? Who else is going to score points? Kemba Walker's not going to be here for at least a month, folks. I hate to tell you. He's probably not going to be here until February, if that. Mm-hmm. Brad Stevens said he's a long way away from coming back, which, by the way, I don't know how you can ever feel good about Kemba Walker being on this team now going forward and playing a full season on that knee. If he just a calendar year's gone by, right? Kemba Walker has played basketball for five of those months and not played basketball for seven of those months. What the hell else? Why? It was September when this all ended. That was 3 months ago. How much more time does he need with this knee? It's not like it's something that he had surgery on and he's rehabbing. It's a chronic, nagging injury that's just not going to go away, I don't think. And I think that sucks, because I like Kemba Walker.
I do too.
I'm rooting for him. But listen, like, this is what happens. This is what happens when a guy has a knee injury that you can't just give surgery to and fix it. It lingers forever.
Forgive my ignorance for not knowing this, but was Kemba Walker, did he have knee issues when he was where was he at before? Carolina? Charlotte. Charlotte. Did he have issues with his knee at Charlotte?
Not really. He was a pretty rock-solid guy. He played 80, 82 games a year.
There was no health issues there when he was at Charlotte. Okay, so he comes here, and do you remember when the knee issues started?
Sure do, right around the All-Star break.
All-Star
and he played
game.
In that All-Star game.
How many minutes did he play in the All-Star game?
About 30-something.
Played over 30 minutes in the All-Star game. And then, right after the All-Star game, now they start managing his minutes, and then, you know, he doesn't play for a while. I'm like, you know what? When are they going to learn? When are they going to learn over there? You know, and there's so much kind of just, you know, they placate to these players so much And it drives me nuts. And I have a feeling I know why they do that over there, but it drives me nuts because that All-Star game, he shouldn't have been playing and he did. And now it's still affecting him and that frustrates me.
Yeah. You know, we had just had that Kyrie graphic up a second ago. And you'll remember there was a whole thing with Kyrie 2 years ago where he didn't play in two regular season games before the All-Star break. And then he played in the All-Star game.
That's right.
He went down. That's when him and Durant were talking about two max slots and all that crap. He didn't play in a regular season game. Then he played in the All-Star game.
And Brad thought it was okay because it was like, hey, you know what? It kind of meshes with our conditioning for him anyway. So he might as well go out there and get work because he was going to be working with us.
Right.
Please.
Couldn't do that in a regular season game against Detroit. But, yeah, go ahead and go do that down at the All-Star break. And I remember at the time thinking, that is so messed up. I can't believe he's doing that. That's not what Kemba Walker did, in fairness. Kemba Walker played in all those games. He played in a double overtime game against the Clippers, I want to say right before the All-Star break. I think he played like 40 minutes in that game. Mm-hmm. He was playing a lot. He's a gamer. He's not like Kyrie in that sense. You know, he wants to be out there. He wants to play. He wanted to play in the All-Star game, but he didn't take regular season games off to go and do it. What ended up happening is that it exacerbated his knee problem, and he probably should have said, you know what, this game doesn't count. I should probably take it off. But who's to say that this thing wouldn't have still been bothering him? Like, I don't know. I like Kemba more than I like Kyrie, so maybe that has something to do with it. But, you know, his absence is going to be really, really felt this year in these first couple of months. And that, to me, further makes me mad about this whole Gordon Hayward trade that never happened for Miles Turner. And that, I think, is just really, really frustrating. Because what was the one thing that they needed in that Miami series? Someone to stand in front of Bam Adebayo.
Yeah.
He dunked on Daniel Tice so many times, he got an imprint on his head. And, you know, other than that, he'll give you 17 points a night. Miles Turner can give you that. He can give you 15, 17 points a night, especially when guys like Tatum and Brown aren't having a good night, which could happen here. I mean, I hate to tell you, folks, like, that's it. If those two guys aren't having good nights, you're not winning that game. Might have had a fighting chance with someone like Turner who could go out there and score, who can shoot, who can sort of stretch the other team's defense. You don't have that now. You have Jeff Teague, and maybe you'll have Tristan Thompson. And those guys, I mean, I like them. I think they make your bench better. But Miles Turner would have been a starter. He would have been in the starting lineup, and he would have been contributing right away.
Need points. You need points. I know you need rebounding as well, and that's what Tristan Thompson does. But you're right, Miles Turner gives you more as far as scoring than Tristan Thompson can give you.
All right, 617-779-0985 is the phone number. We're talking NBA here. James Harden, we got the clock ticking on James Harden. Is he going to get traded before these games start at 7 o'clock? Find out next here on the Sports
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Ever wonder where Felger and Maz get all their inside information?
I heard from a guy at a cocktail party.
Always relying on their credible sources. Felger and Maz, the show to come to when sports news breaks.
Oh!
Here's Kyrie. Kyrie watched by Brown. Pocket pass in the middle.
Oh!
It's Jeff Green, and he throws it down over the rookie Nesmith.
Ooh. Ooh.
Cedric Maxwell is about to start reading the last rites there after Aaron Nesmith got yammed on by Jeff Green, of all people, on God's Green. I didn't even know Jeff Green was still in the league.
Yep, I didn't either.
Ooh.
I rewound that 10 times. And so I listened to the TV broadcast, and Scal, 5 minutes later, still talking about it. You couldn't believe, you know, it was a welcome to the NBA moment for Aaron Nesmith. And, man, I thought right then and there, I'm like, Jeff Green's, not only is he dunking on you, I mean, he was like kind of just, I don't know, is a little extra, I thought, on Aaron Nesmith. And it was just like, and Scal was talking it up and just got a kick out of that. And I thought, oh, boy, it's going to be a long season. Just on that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sort of feeling that way myself, especially because the Brooklyn Nets are one of those teams that, you know, we all knew Kevin Durant was coming back, and we all knew Kyrie Irving was going to be back this year. But we all kind of, in the back of our minds, I think Celtics fans were like, yeah, but what if they're not good? what if that doesn't work? What if Durant gets sick of Kyrie, or Kyrie gets sick of Durant, or something?
Yep.
Which doesn't sound like it's happened yet.
It could still happen.
Yeah, it still could.
But
There was an Instagram conversation between the two of them. Did you see this?
Oh, it's great.
When Kyrie's talking about, like, I was you in a past life, and Durant's like, Like, you, what? Like, what the hell are you talking about?
Did you think that was authentic? Or, okay, did you think the, hey, man, I want, what, 8 touches in the low post?
Right.
Did you think Kyrie was being serious, or were they just kind of joking around?
I think that part of it was jokey. Like, yeah, it needs to be 8 total. But I also think there was a little bit of truth with Kyrie there, because that's sort of how he
is. That's how
he
thinks.
You know, he thinks in those terms. He thinks of, like, all right, well, I'm going to do this, and then you're going to do that, and we're all going to do everything. And if it doesn't go exactly the way I want it, I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to throw a little tantrum.
Who's the alpha dog in that relationship, though?
I would have to think it's Durant.
It has to be. It was.
Durant's the better player.
He is the better player. And I felt like, you know, when Durant's like, yeah, maybe 2.5. Like, that was him kind of reestablishing who's the king here in Brooklyn. It's not you, Kyrie. It's me, pal.
Yeah. The NBA reporters and scribes who have been covering this very big story here very well, I'd say, for the last couple of weeks, all have said that the Brooklyn Nets and the Miami Heat are now officially out of the James Harden sweepstakes. Now, I take that to mean that those teams maybe stopped negotiating. I think that there was offers made. I'm sure that the Brooklyn Nets were involved in this, and I think that I've heard rumors that Kyrie sort of stepped in and said, no, just going to be me and Durant here. Mm. I know that the Miami Heat were dangling a package that included Tyler Hero, which I thought was a really, really big thing to give up, but sort of sounds like maybe the Rockets wanted more than that, and now the Heat have sort of pulled out. And according to Houston's morning man over at the ESPN station, you know this guy, by the way, who came out with this? I'll try and find his name.
Not Josh Innes, is it?
It's not Josh Innes. He said that he had impeachable sources, and I'll find his name for you here because I know you worked out there. He said he had unimpeachable sources that told him that the market now is down to 2 teams, the Celtics and the Raptors.
Oh.
And that... Granato, does that sound familiar?
Oh, yeah, of course. John Granato.
John Granato in the mornings? Is he full of crap, or does he know what he's talking about?
John's a reputable guy, so that's interesting. That's not some jamoke saying that. John's got a good reputation in Houston.
Yeah, he says an impeccable source says that the Raptors and Celtics are the 2 favorites right now for James Harden. It would be a package for Pascal Siakam and more, or Jaylen Brown and more. First of all, between those 2 packages, which one's better, do you think? Assuming that the centerpiece in Toronto's Pascal Siakam and the centerpiece here is Jaylen Brown. Basically, I'm asking you, who do you think is a better player, Siakam or Jaylen Brown?
Oh, they're different players, but I think, wouldn't you, even though Siakam, I thought, played terrible in the playoffs last year.
And Jaylen Brown locked him up on defense,
too. He did. I mean, wouldn't you say Siakam is probably, like, I would think most people think Siakam's the better player.
Siakam had better numbers, a little bigger, he gets more rebounds.
I mean, I think I'm more of a fan of, you know, my lasting impression is how Siakam played against the Celtics in the finals, or in the playoffs last year. So I'm like, I don't want that guy. I mean, so I'd say Jaylen Brown, but I just feel like Siakam is more widely kind of thought of as a better player. So that's, you know, that's...
Siakam was an all-star. I mean, you know...
He was, and Jaylen Brown wasn't, so...
Right.
But they that's interesting. But didn't James Harden say he had no desire to come to the Celtics? I know maybe at the end of the day, it's not...
I don't recall him saying that.
Oh, but he had a list of teams that he would preferred. And the Celtics... Okay. The Celtics were not on that team.
You're right.
The Celtics were not one of the teams that he was open to being drafted. It was the Sixers. It was Miami. It was Brooklyn. And
Milwaukee, I think, was on that
list. Milwaukee. Yeah. Those were the teams in the East.
Imagine him and Giannis together?
I mean, are you kidding me? It would be, and they would compliment each other, I think, for nicely.
Right. Well, it's tough to know how, because James Harden, everybody thought he'd compliment Chris Paul nicely, right? Or Russell Westbrook. It hasn't worked out. And prior to that, and you were there for this, Ted, you know, Harden had a bunch of crappy teams. Like the second best player that Harden played with until Chris Paul got there was like Chandler Parsons or Trevor Ariza or, you know, some bum like that.
Eric Gordon came.
He's a little bit better, but that's a bench scorer.
Do you know who the guy initially they paired him up with, they thought was going to be the big two? He came from L.A. Dwight Howard.
Dwight Howard, yes, you're
Dwight
right.
Dwight Howard.
Yeah, and Howard actually had one decent year there, right?
Decent. Yeah. And then it all went to hell. But yeah, I mean, it was basically, you're right, other than Howard, it was they paired up Chris Paul. It worked out for the first year. I mean, let's face it. They got all the way to the Western Conference Finals against Golden State.
Right.
And if Chris Paul doesn't injure his calf, you know, they could have knocked off Golden State to go to the finals. So yeah. It worked for
also, a year. James Harden missed about 23 pointers in a row in that series, which I could never forget that.
You're
he had to make like one, and he missed 20 in a row.
You're right. Which is remarkable.
Ridiculous, yeah. And for a guy who's that good of a shooter. But again, I mean, what we're talking about right now, and for Celtics fans out there, I understand you may love this team. Celtics fans love their team, right? I mean, that's one thing you can say. If you get drafted by the Celtics, you get traded to the Celtics, Celtics fans here will love you. And if you're not on the team, they want nothing to do with you, for the most part. Mm-hmm. Especially when you're a big-name guy like James Harden, who takes a ton of shots. And in Celtics fans' minds, we'll be taking offense away from Jason Tatum. And not only that, just bringing Harden here is going to cost you Jaylen Brown, both of whom Celtics fans love like they've never loved anyone before, which, again, I understand. I am sort of making fun of Celtics fans for this, but I do understand it. Here's the problem. James Harden goes to any one of those other teams, and that team is already, I mean, I think some of them are. Like, the Bucks are better than you right now. He goes to the Raptors. The Raptors are substantially better than you. He goes to the Heat. The Heat already were better than you. They beat you in the playoffs. He goes to the Bucks. Forget that. Goes to the Nets. I mean, you saw the Nets play him in the preseason. Even the 76ers. Like, I think the worst team for Harden to go to, if you're a Celtics fan, is the 76ers, because that's just another team that is going to get pushed up in front of you guys, because that's how it looks to me right now. James Harden joins the Sixers. Him and Joel Embiid, they stay healthy. They'll probably win more games than you. They'll probably win more games than the Celtics.
Without question. And your thoughts on Howard on Harden as a potential piece here? Would you like him here? Do you think that's something that could work if he was to be traded to the Celtics?
Yes, I do. And the reason why I do is because I have faith in Brad Stevens. And all these Celtics fans out there who go on and on and on about how James Harden would totally ruin this team, I think have no faith in Brad Stevens whatsoever. And I don't get that, because either Brad Stevens is this great young coach, or he's a guy who can't handle elite talent. It can't be both. Yep. It's got to be one or the other. And if you think he can't handle elite talent, then maybe he's not the right guy for this job. Yep. Because if you're in the NBA and you don't have elite talent, you're not going to the NBA finals.
If you have a chance to get James Harden for Jaylen Brown, you do it, and you don't even look back in a second. Okay, it might not work out, but he's a guy that, look, yo, I mean, he's a guy that can be your point guard. I know he was a two guard for a long time. And then Tony, when he got there a few years ago, he said, you know what? I think he can be a point guard. And yes, can he over dribble at times? Yes. Okay. But the guy had this first year, Mike D'Antoni was there. He averaged 11 assists a game.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a great passer of the ball. And I think he'd be, all his antics on the side. I don't think he'd want to come here, though, because there's one strip club in Boston. So it's a big thing of his.
It's not even in Boston. It's out in like Saugus.
Yeah. So, but
I know there is one still in Boston, too, right?
I think there is.
I mean, I've been told that.
Yeah, I've heard there might be.
Heard there might be.
But yeah, you'd be crazy not to get James Harden. I'm sorry, you would, because particularly after what I saw on Friday night, this team is going to be in trouble, I think, this year.
Yeah, and you know, you don't want him going to another team in the division, and you certainly don't want him going, well, another team in the conference anyway, but definitely not in the division. He goes to another team in that division, have fun looking up at that team. Have fun looking up at the Raptors like you did last year. Have fun looking up at the Sixers maybe, and the Raptors, Raptors if that happens. And if he goes to Milwaukee or Brooklyn, I think Brooklyn's out of the picture now, so is Miami. But he goes to Milwaukee, that team won, 70 games last year? They'll win 80 games this year. That's a ridiculous lineup right there.
I thought it was interesting that all the teams he wanted to be traded to were all in the East. No desire to go West. So that's trouble for the Celtics, because you're right. Any team he goes to, is they're going to be markedly better than what they were before.
Yeah. Also, Houston probably wouldn't want to trade him to the West. I can understand that. The interesting thing here is that Harden does not have a no-trade clause, so they could conceivably trade him anywhere. They could trade him to the Knicks. They could trade him to the Cavs. If they get the right offer, I mean, he could refuse to report. He could do something like that, say, I'm not going to play if you send me there. But that's not Houston's problem. You know, that'll be the problem of the team that brings him in, if they do it. But that probably also limits his available teams in the market of teams that would want him.
It's tough. You see the Celtics, they're so coveting a players that are good guys. After Kyrie left, they wanted to draft good guys, team guys. Okay, you know what? That's fine. You're not going to be as good, at the end of the day with all good guys. You need killers. You need guys that have a little bit of edge. And I'm not saying James Harden, let's face it, I know he's got his issues, but you know what? Why not just every now and then swing for the fences and take a chance instead of trying to kind of play it safe like they seem to be for a while here now.
All right. This is it. 7 o'clock. The season starts, folks. James Harden is going to be on the move, I think. I can't imagine he stays in Houston. I heard yesterday he was throwing basketballs at some rookie in practice the other day. So, where's he going? Do you want him in Boston? Would you give up Jaylen Brown for him? 617-779-0985 is the phone number. We got your headlines, and then right to your phones.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's the show the crowd goes wild for. It's Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I don't want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree.
I wasn't going to cut off Mariah Carey there.
Let that one breathe a little
bit.
No
way.
Huh?
No way. What am I, crazy? To cut off the greatest Christmas song of all time? No way. 617-779-0985. That is your phone number. We're talking Celtics. We're talking James Harden. I think we're up against the deadline here, right? I mean, the season starts tonight. The Rockets don't play until tomorrow, I don't think. Neither do the Celtics. And that, to me, means that James Harden, if he's getting traded, is probably going to get traded very soon, according to, what's his name again in Houston?
John Granato.
Thank you very much. The Celtics and the Toronto Raptors are the two teams leading the charge right now. Jaylen Brown, the centerpiece of a package that the Celtics would give to Houston. Pascal Siakam, the centerpiece over there in Toronto. Want to know what you think? 617-779-0985. Let's get the call started here with Sarah in Dorchester. Go ahead, Sarah.
Christian!
Sarah!
How are you?
I'm great, Sarah. How you doing?
I'm good. I don't think Jaylen Brown would want to go to Houston. Does he have a no-trade clause?
I don't believe he does, no.
Because of his social activism and the politics of the Houston owner, it's not going to be a good match.
You know what? You know what, Sarah? That's a good point.
Well,
you know, I would say.
Is she getting her owners mixed up, though?
No. Tillman Fertitta?
Tillman Fertitta?
Fertitta, he's a big-time Trump guy.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah. Fertitta's a big-time Trump guy.
I should know that.
And
there were
reports out that that's why a lot of players wanted out of there.
Interesting. That's
Fertitta, yeah, he is a big-time outspoken
Trump guy.
What is with
the owners down there in Houston, man?
I don't know.
But
I'll tell you this, this maybe a sort of a bleak perspective here, but if Jaylen Brown wants to play for any other team in the NBA, he's probably going to have to deal with that because 81% of political donations from NBA owners went to Republicans. The only teams, the only owners, and this is from Sports Illustrated here, or maybe it's from The Ringer. Five NBA owners have contributed directly to President Trump: Buss, DeVos, Dolan, Fertitta, and Juliana Holt in San Antonio. Meanwhile, the only owners who have donated strictly to Democrats are Wes Edens in Milwaukee, Mark Lazary in Washington, Ted Leonsis in Sacramento, or Leonsis, however you say his name, Rana Divi. I got those wrong there. Edens and Lazary with Milwaukee, Leonsis with Washington, Sacramento's Rana Divi, and of course, Wick Grosbeck, and I think Jeannie Buss is the other one. Hmm. But that's it. Those are the only five, and I know I butchered all those names, so I apologize there, except for Wick Grosbeck.
A factor in for players choosing what team they want to play for?
Might be a factor for Jaylen Brown.
Maybe more so now than it's ever been.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, let's face it, the NBA and the players are more kind of enlightened, I would say, when it comes to those kinds of topics. But Jaylen Brown doesn't have a choice, right? I mean, if he gets traded, it's not like he can choose.
Yeah, he could say, I'm not going to play. He could retire, okay. I guess.
Sure.
He could, you know, refuse to take go on strike. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things he could do, I suppose.
I just didn't know Tillman Fertitta's politics maybe was so big and so out there that it was a thing.
Yeah. You know, it is a thing, unfortunately. Well, okay. Unfortunately, however you feel. But, I mean, that's a thing. For NBA players, I mean, most of the owners, that's the way they lean politically. That's the way most sports owners lean politically. Yeah. That's just kind of the way it is. So if Jaylen Brown decides I'm not going to play for a guy who's a Trump supporter, there's only like five teams you can play for. Only five teams you can play for if you don't want to be. Maybe Trump supporters too strong, but like a Republican donor?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Only a couple of teams. There's only a couple of teams that are owned by guys who weren't Republican donors. That's all. Let's go to John in Hampton. Go ahead, John.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up?
Happy, you know, all these holidays and all that. So
sure.
If we talk about, like, James Harden, because he seems to be the talk of the day, every day, all the time, for weeks now. So if he was to be, actually go to the Celtics, right? So the thing is that the Celtics are a defensive team, so if he went there, he'd score like 30 points a game, right? So, but he stinks, and I think it's more of like, you know, all of the, every commercial would be AEDs.
All right, Johnny, it's taking way too long to get to the point here. The call screen said that he stinks on defense. He doesn't play any defense. Mm-hmm. How would he fit into this team without playing defense? He scores 40 points a night. Like
you'll deal with bad defense.
You can deal with the defense.
Yeah.
Like that's I'd love it if he played better defense, but I actually think that the Harden doesn't play defense thing, it's gotten a little overblown. Like I've watched him play some defense. He rejected that guy in the playoffs last year.
When he wants to, yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, it's not like he does it all the time, but he can play a little bit better defense, I think, than it's more a reputation thing with him
it
at
is,
this point.
There was a video that was put out a few years ago about all his defensive mishaps, and it's a thing that follows him around.
Oh, yeah.
But you know, but who cares? This team needs points more than it needs defense at this point.
Yeah, I agree with that. Let's go to Elias in Worcester with a thought on Kemba Walker. Go ahead, Elias.
Yeah, so you were talking earlier in the show about, you know, the Celtics might be way, way behind. And I think I hate to say it, I agree. But I think, you know, of course we're missing Kemba Walker, but we're also missing $28 million, almost $29 million in player. So, you know, like, I think that links into sort of, oh, are we going to trade Harden or not?
Right.
They're so bearish in the ownership that I think they're going to be like, oh, let's wait and see if we can get people on the team for this trade clause, and maybe then we'll, you know, be able to build around our guys. I'm all for trading Jaylen Brown. I love Jaylen Brown. If we're getting James Harden for it, I'd have to grit my teeth and do that trade.
All right, Elias, thanks for the call. How many points per game do you think the trade exception is going to score this year? Because I think the trade exception is going to have a monster year. Average a triple-double like Russell Westbrook. I'm very excited for that trade exception, which, again, could have been Miles Turner if they decided that's what they wanted, but they didn't, so here you go. Let's try Nick in the car before the break. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I just want to say two quick things and ask your take on it after. I think that trading for James Harden could be good, like everyone's been saying, because we need that second score, especially with Kemba's knee. You know what I mean?
James Harden comes here. He's the first scorer, Nick. I hate to tell you. He's the first scorer. Tatum's the second.
He's your alpha dog.
I agree. I'm just saying that we need another scorer in general.
Right. Sure.
Besides Tatum. But the only thing I don't like is, what about Tatum? I feel like if you bring Harden here, do you think that it just kind of downplays Tatum? And I feel like Tatum won't be able to live up to his potential. What do you guys think? Thank you.
You got him locked up for 5 years. Too bad. Look, are you kidding me? But you know what I mean? Like, are we going to be worried about Jason Tatum's feelings, you know, in this, or his touches?
Is Jason Tatum going to be upset that brought in an MVP to play with him?
That's my point. If he is, then shame on Jason Tatum.
Right. That's sort of how I feel, too.
Do you think there's people, there's Celtic fan out there that say, James Harden for Jaylen Brown, to me, is a no-brainer. A no-brainer. You do that deal in a heartbeat if you're the Celtics.
Yeah. It depends on how good you think Jaylen Brown's going to be, but I don't think anyone thinks Jaylen Brown's ever going to be as good as James Harden. Like, I don't think anyone really believes that. Maybe you think Jason Tatum will be someday, and if you think that's going to stunt Jason Tatum, okay, I guess, but, you know, I look at it this way. Jason Tatum just signed that extension, and that's basically the Kevin Durant extension that he got in Oklahoma City, right? Mm-hmm. He turned 27, and he said, I'm out of here. This team's not winning a championship. We got close, but we didn't win it, and I'm going to go somewhere. I'm going to win a championship. What's to say Jason Tatum doesn't do the same
thing?
Right. I think in these next 4 or 5 years, Danny Ainge is on the clock.
Yeah.
You got to win a championship with Jason Tatum, or else he's probably going to leave. And if he does, this is over. Like, this whole thing's over. The whole thing that started with that Brooklyn trade and sort of everything else comes to a crashing halt once Jason Tatum walks out that door. You don't want that to happen. And I think James Harden being here makes it more likely that he stays than goes, because that shows that the Celtics in their front office are really trying to put a championship contender around him. And I think that that's something that he would appreciate. I don't know. It's just what I think. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. More from you and more on this topic when we come back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
It's not complaining.
Oh, you're the mean boss. Aw.
It's just Felger.
No, 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 no. It's always no.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
.454 here on the Sports Hub. Couple minutes left till the top of the hour. Myself, Ted Johnson, in for the guys today. Your calls at 617-779-0985. We've been discussing James Harden, who was chucking basketballs at the rookies on his team over there in Houston, trying to do everything. Basically, George Costanza with the trophy driving around, telling everybody to sit on it and rotate as they try and work out a trade for him. It seems like some teams have dropped out of the running, like Brooklyn, like Miami, but it does seem like there are some teams still very much in the running, including your own Boston Celtics. And that is a trade that would have to center around someone like Jaylen Brown. I know there's Celtics fans out there who wouldn't trade Marcus Smart for James Harden. I know for a fact, because I've talked to you before at night. They only call at night, Ted. It's weird. I haven't had any of those calls in any other day parts, but at night they like to call in and tell us that, you know, no way would you ever trade Marcus Smart or Jaylen Brown or Brad Wanamaker or Romeo Langford or you name it. Doesn't Taco Fall. Doesn't matter who it is. Once they're a Celtic, they have to be a Celtic forever. And that brings us to this crossroads we're at right now, where James Harden is being dangled out there. And I have a theory on this, by the way, because the Celtics were never really talked about as major players for James Harden up until recently, up until your guy there in Houston started talking about it. And I think, and maybe I'm reaching a bit here, I think Danny Ainge watched those 2 preseason games and said, holy crap, we got to do something here.
That's interesting. That is so interesting that you just said that, because I think what you saw in those 2 preseason games tells a lot. I really do. I know, Kemba Walker, you know, when he comes back, maybe it looks different, but we don't know when he's going to come back. I don't think Tristan Thompson playing in that Friday night game against Brooklyn is going to make that much of a difference. It's not. He's not. And so, you know, Chris, you might be right, because the Celtics were initially kind of reported as a team that maybe would be in the running for Harden, and then you kind of heard, more recently that Harden had no desire to come here, so you hadn't heard that. If I'm Danny Ainge, I'm looking at this. You know what? It feels like there's a little bit of pressure with Danny Ainge, right? I feel like he's getting a little bit more kind of, feeling it, if you will, right? Just some of the articles that have come out recently, some of the things he said to TNR recently, that maybe he's feeling it a little bit. And
yeah.
if I'm Danny Ainge and I'm watching this team play in the first 2 preseason games, I'm like worried as hell about what this season could look like, because I think a lot of people would think maybe they're like the 3rd or 4th seed in the East. I mean, I can see this team finishing, 7th or 8th, and make the playoffs, but at the bottom of the Eastern Conference.
Be a long way to fall. By the way, the Celtics have just tweeted out their injury report for tomorrow night against Milwaukee. Taco Fall is out with right eye irritation.
That's a first.
Like a bird fly into it or something. Romeo Langford is out. He had right wrist surgery, obviously. And Kemba Walker is out because of his left knee, and they're strengthening it and whatever. One name not on this list here is Tristan Thompson. So I assume Tristan Thompson's ready to go tomorrow night, which is good news for the Celtics, I think. I like the Thompson deal. Don't like him as much as I would have liked Miles Turner, but again, that's... That's just my own personal preference. 617-779-0985. Let's go to Josh, who is in New Hampshire, with a thought on James Harden. Hello, Josh.
Hello. How are you guys, Tony?
Great, Josh. What's up?
Not much. So I don't want Harden because I feel like, buddy, we just got rid of our own drama, and that was in Kyrie Irving. And I see Harden coming here, being a distraction. After I saw the report 6 hours ago, and I threw the ball at his teammate.
Yes.
I don't want him here. So.
All right. I mean, Josh, that's fair enough. Kyrie Irving was just here a couple of years ago, and while that started pretty well, and people forget that. Like, that first year with Kyrie, pretty good year,
yeah.
You know? He got hurt at the end, and if he was there, they'd probably go to the NBA Finals. But that first year, very harmonious. Everybody seemed to get along. None of this crap that happened in the second year. But, yeah, that ended up being a whole bunch of crap, and that ended up being, you know, an untenable situation. Would that be the same with James Harden?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. That's up to James Harden. I don't know where his head's at. If he's traded to a team that he doesn't want to play for, I mean, how is he going to be kind of, you know, half-hearted about it? I don't know. You know, here's the thing about James Harden. He was getting treated very, very well there. I thought the Rockets went way overboard in kind of accommodating him and his special, you know, kind of the needs he had. And he was given certain liberties that other guys weren't. And that created some issues. And, you know, kind of how the Celtics do things. They want to play nice with everybody. And they got this kind of this locker room where they're, you know, they're trying to kind of keep everybody happy. Yeah. When you have young guys and James Harden's being maybe treated one way and the up-and-coming stars, if you will, at least Jason Tatum is being treated something differently, you could see there being problems. But you know what? Maybe at this point, who cares what the risks are, right? You're seeing maybe a team in the Celtics that are going to be just middle of the road in their own conference,
yeah,
if they don't get an injection of talent and star talent, and particularly a guy that can come and score tons of buckets,
yeah,
like Harden can.
And another thing, it's the NBA. They don't have to like each other.
Yeah.
They really, really don't. Kevin Durant and Draymond Green were at each other's throats all the time. Yeah. Shaq and Kobe hated each other. Kyrie Irving and LeBron James didn't like each other, and they won a championship. It's really not a prerequisite that these guys all got to like each other. I don't understand why Celtics fans are so hung up on that. It doesn't matter. Now, are they going to ruin the team on the court? Different story. If they can't play together, then fine, that's different. But them all liking each other and going out and sharing a ride to the prom and all that other crap, I don't care about that. And you shouldn't either. Let's go to Julian in Revere. Last word on this. Go ahead, Julian.
Yes, thanks for having me on, y'all. I like James Harden for a couple of reasons. One, I'm trying to win a championship. The second of all is that I think if you get James Harden and Jason Tatum together, you have a real competitive basketball team, and it might attract you a big man to go along with him.
Yeah. You know, Julian, I'm kind of with you there, you know? We talk about duos all the time on the night show because we're both obsessed with NBA Jam. But we talk about duos on the night show all the time. James Harden and Jason Tatum? Maybe the best duo in the Eastern Conference. Kyrie and Durant are still probably number one, but they're a close second. If Harden goes to Milwaukee, him and Giannis are probably best duo in the league, I would say, next to LeBron and Davis, right? Like, I mean, they're right up there. This is a guy who makes that kind of impact. He changes your team. And maybe you think he's not going to change it for the better, but listen, I don't know. I mean, I consider him the type of guy that puts a team like this over the top.
You know what he does, too? And he keeps the kind of – I think you win. You win games when Kemba Walker is still injured. So he'll keep this team competitive until Kemba Walker gets back. And you get Kemba Walker back – I don't know. Then you got something. I don't know. Maybe at the trade deadline, you make another move. And I just think it would be a hell of a lot more compelling and a lot more interesting if you had James Harden on this team. It's a much better team with Harden on it and Jaylen Brown off of it than just keeping Jaylen Brown as is right now.
All right, 617-779-0985 is the phone number. When we come back, we'll reset on the Patriots, reset on the NFL, and how about those Pittsburgh Steelers last night? Good showing by them. We'll get into all of that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.